We have all had thoughts at some time in our life, such as, why did I do that? Or, why did I say that? Or, I wish I could stop feeling this way. Then we had to live with the remorse and regret, the feelings of blame and guilt, wishing we could retract what we'd said or done. Have we ever stopped to consider that maybe it wasn't us doing or saying those things? If we do things that we don't want to do, is it really us doing those things, or is it something else getting us to do those things? If we were always in control of our choices and thoughts and actions, wouldn't we all be doing the things we wanted to do? After all, who wants to feel depressed, sad, guilty, hateful, hurt, left out, just to name a few? These are all very unpleasant feelings that lead to unpleasant actions. We can go to the scriptures to find the answers and get control of our lives. In Romans chapter 7, Paul puts himself in the place of someone who is controlled by sin. He expresses that when he does things he doesn't want to do and can't do the things he wants to do, he comes to one conclusion. It's not him doing it. It's sin that dwells in him. Sin is in our thought processes, which in turn causes us to say and do things that we don't want to say or do. As it tells us in Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. That shows sin is in the thought processes. Our mind is a lot like a field. As it tells us in Jeremiah 22:29, God speaking to humanity, he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. We're born into this world with fertile soil ready to receive seeds or ideas. We're hungry for information. It tells us in Luke 8:11 that the seed is the word of God. Unfortunately, as we grow up, a lot of other seeds also blow into the field of our mind, and they're not all good. In the natural, it can be very difficult to tell the difference between a weed and a good plant at an early stage. We often couldn't tell the difference between a life-promoting and a life-taking idea either. We were just an open field. An interesting point to note is that the field is not the weeds. It is merely the receiver of the weeds, and the weeds are not a permanent part of the field. The weeds can be dug up by the roots, and good seeds can be planted in that field. This is the condition of our mind as we grow up in the world. We get good ideas planted or taught to us by our parents, our families, our teachers, etc. We nurture and take care of these ideas, and they grow. They bring forth good fruit in our mind. But weeds also get planted in our minds, and these grow up along with the good seeds, and often they succeed in crowding out some of them. But the weeds or sins are not us. They got planted in our mind. An example might be that we're taught not to lie. That's a good seed. Then the phone rings and Mom says, "Tell him I'm not home." We learn it's okay to lie when it's convenient for us. That is a weed. We get Mom or Dad, we see them exaggerate a story and they make it sound more juicy. Ooh, well then we learn to lie to get attention. We see an older sister or brother lie to get out of trouble. We copy that bad example. The weed is growing and it's developing a root system. Before we know it, we may be lying when we don't want to, or we may be lying and really believe we're telling the truth. The lying thought is now controlling us. So should we blame Mom or Dad, sister or brother? Should we blame ourselves? No. Those other people just taught us what they were taught, and we, very ignorantly, that is to say without any protection, took these ideas into the field of our mind. Jesus said the enemy that sowed them, referring to those weeds, is the devil. He said that in Matthew 13:39, if you'd like to look it up. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:26 that we're taken captive by the devil at his will. We had the wool pulled over our eyes many times. We may look at others and make judgments about their behavior. How can they do something like that? I can't believe anyone would do something so awful. Well, it's not the person doing that awful thing. We don't know what that person's past experiences have been either. If his mind has only been exposed to negative thoughts, negative feelings, and negative experiences without much good to choose from, then that's all that will be growing in his field, and that's what he'll speak out, and that's what will work out of him. As it tells us in Matthew 15:19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Well, we can't judge another person unless we've walked in his shoes. Since we've never walked in anyone else's shoes through all their paths of life, we don't have a right to judge any other person. It tells us that clearly in Matthew 7 and also in Romans chapter 14. The understanding that sin is not us can help us to grow mercy and compassion for others and also for our own soul. We don't need to blame others or ourselves, but we can blame the source of evil. That would be the devil. The devil and his angels who have sown down the field of our mind with weeds and weeds and more weeds. We might have the thought, well, isn't it a cop-out to say, the devil made me do it? Kind of like that comedian several years ago, the devil made me do it. No. In natural warfare, if you don't know who the enemy is, there's no way to win the war. The enemy is not us. The enemy is not you. The enemy is evil thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, and those originated with the devil and his angels. They've been passed on to humankind, and the fact that we are not the enemy does still not relieve us of the responsibility to take action. The first step in taking control of our mind is to identify the enemy. This is called discernment. This is the ability to tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. Tares is just another word for weeds. It teaches us the ability to tell the difference between good and evil. It can be difficult because sin can be very subtle. For example, one might think that helping an elderly lady across the street is a very kind deed. Well, true, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But what is our motive for doing that? Is it so everyone will think we're a wonderful person? Do we want people to look up to us? Jesus called the religious leaders hypocrites because they wanted to be seen of men. Even knowledge in our mind that doesn't seem good or evil in and of itself, for example, science, maybe math, maybe housekeeping, that can still be tainted with the wrong motive. For example, feeling self-right and superior about our knowledge of mathematics, and in turn making someone else feel inferior and stupid. That is one example, and there are numerous examples of sin. Sin is not just words. There is power with it. That is why it is so successful in getting us to do things that we don't want to do. This power fights against our will. The more a particular sin works in our life, the more powerful it becomes. For example, as a child, we may see Dad lose his temper when things just don't go right. We learn to throw temper tantrums ourselves then to get our way. It may start by throwing toys, but it might progress into fistfights as we get older. One day, the anger may become so strong that we might kill someone. These are very real and common problems, and that power comes from the devil and his angels. The enemy does have power, but God's power is greater. Luke 10:19 speaks of both of those powers. Jesus says, I will give you power over all the power of the enemy. That lets us know that God's power is greater than the power that evil has. But we need to learn how to access and to use God's power. Sin is hard to control because sin is rarely just one single thought or feeling. It's like a train with many cars that connect with each other. For example, we may judge someone doesn't like us because she didn't smile at us when we smiled at her. Then, that's followed by a hurt feeling, followed by self-doubt. Well, what's wrong with me? And comparing. Well, she smiled at Joe yesterday. Self-condemning. Maybe it's because I'm fat. Oh, and then a cover-up. Well, I just don't care anyway. Hate, anger, and revenge may follow. Well, I'll just ignore her right back. Later in the day, we find out that she had a fight with her spouse that morning, and her lack of reaction had nothing at all to do with us. This weed didn't just pop into our mind at that moment in time. It already had a root system developed. It's important for us to learn to discern the lies and deceit that the devil is trying to plant. This is a powerful tool to help us keep weeds out of our garden. When we discern the lie in what they're saying, we can stop believing them. For example, if thoughts tell us what people are thinking, we can say, I don't know what they're thinking unless they tell me. Don't judge. Sometimes the lies are very blatant, like, I didn't take the cookie. And sometimes they're more subtle. Oh, I can't do anything right. We can start talking back to these thoughts and ask them very specific questions, such as, is it really true I can't do anything right? Or did I just make one mistake, and now these weeds in my mind are telling me that I'm a failure? Isn't that thought a bit of an exaggeration? Who says you have to do something perfectly the first time? How about a little mercy on myself? Discerning the lie in what these thoughts tell us can help us see right through them so that we don't fall for their tricks time and time again. We don't have to continue being naive and gullible. Well, how do we get to the root of this sin in our mind? We go back to when the weed was first planted. For example, let's say a certain woman, when she was 5, was helping her mom do the dishes, and she broke a piece of her mom's favorite china. Mom gave her a stern look and sent her to her room. She felt hurt and angry. From then on, whenever someone gave her a stern look or didn't smile at her, she felt that same hurt. Well, in those cases, we can get help from a gift of discernment, which it speaks of, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 10. It is a gift from God to help someone separate the good from the evil within their mind. And we can get help from someone that has that gift. They can help us weed out our garden and get an understanding of sin, because they've already gone through that process within their own mind. The Scriptures are also a great source of discernment, as it tells us in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's like looking into a mirror to help us see the dirt on our face, as it tells us in James 1. Once we discern the weeds and get the roots, we can get a strong weed killer. Scripturally, this is called the power of grace. It tells us that in Zechariah 12:10 and 13:1. It says, the spirit of grace, it's for sin and uncleanness. This power can uproot every rotten, miserable thought or feeling that has ever controlled us. We can bring sin captive to us rather than being captive to it. As it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, once we've got our field empty, we can't leave it empty or weeds will grow back. So the next step is to plant some good seeds in our mind. That would be God's words or more discernment ideas, such as, I didn't originate math, I was taught it. I can't take credit for it. Thank God for whatever intelligence I have. Or, I don't know what that person's thinking. Maybe he's not smiling because he's had a bad day. Maybe I can show some kindness and help lighten his load. We can also plant some fruits of the Spirit in our mind, such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, and that can grow and bring forth after its kind to replace the evil that's been in our mind in time past. In summary, the simple reason that we do things we don't want to do is that we can get sin planted in our mind as an early, very early in our life, and that sin can end up controlling us, but the sin is not us. We get taught to sin by seeing and hearing the things that go on around us. It tells us that in 2 Peter. And the more that a sin works in our mind, the bigger it grows and the stronger it gets. Sin has power. It is made up of many thoughts and feelings, and there's always a lie in it somewhere. With the gift of discernment to help us, we can separate the wheat from the tares. We can get the good separated from the evil. We can get to the root of the problem. Just as it came in, it can go out. The power of grace can root the sin out of our minds. We can reseed our garden with beautiful plants and flowers, good ideas and feelings that you want to share with others. In the natural, you wouldn't give a handful of ugly weeds to someone that you love. Spiritually, we don't want to give other people our sins because that would kill them. We want to share feelings and ideas that will promote their life and make them feel good.